This is HPR episode 2562 entitled, I Bought a Laptop. It is hosted by Clacky and is about 22 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, in which Clacky takes months or years to buy a laptop, but comes out pretty pleased.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Clacky, and I just bought a new laptop. So I've been looking for another laptop for quite some time now. In our home we have my good old work MacBook from 2013. It's a real workhorse, it has a huge SSD. And that's also where we watch our movies and things like that. It's a 15-inch model, I believe. And then we have our old crappy computer that we bought for 2,000 crowns back in 2013 also, or something like that. It was slow even then. And it has been becoming comparatively slower as the years have moved on. And so these days it's basically only I find it useful, and because I use it to hang in the console a lot, use VI to do things. But still, if I do something as simple as just upgrading all my Nix packages in my home directory, it will take a noticeable amount of time to just figure out the dependencies and all that, which is like 1 second on the MacBook. But so for some time I had been looking for a tinier laptop, and also to go against the mainstream a bit, I wanted a laptop that wasn't an x86 laptop, so it would be more difficult to run Windows on it than it would be expected to come with Linux pre-installed. So I was looking at the Pinebook. That seemed like a really cool laptop for some time. And I registered for it, or I wanted to register for it, but it didn't have the size I wanted at the time. I don't even remember which size I wanted now. I think I wanted a 10-inch and they only had a 13-inch. And they didn't have that. So I waited for a while, and then a couple of months later I checked back in. Okay, now they have. I think by that time I had decided, 10-inch or 13-inch. Doesn't really matter so much. Maybe I want a 13-inch. And then I went in to look and, now there's only the 10-inch available. And I think I registered to stand in line for that model, but they still haven't got back to me, and that was like sometime middle of last year. So I'm not sure if I successfully registered or not. In the meantime, I've been working for a Swedish client, and I had their laptop to work on, so most of the time there was no resource conflict at home. If I work, I work on my work laptop, and my son wants to watch a movie, or my wife needs to work or surf to check something, they could use the MacBook. But now I've left that client and I'm working for Fractalide, and then I'm using my own machine to work on. So, since January, I've been looking around for a second proper laptop. Not just some tiny thing, but something that can actually be, I could be doing real work on. And so, in Hong Kong, there are two There are three major chain stores and two that are available in any mall. So they're Suning, Broadway and Fortress. And Broadway and Fortress are the two ones that are available everywhere. So I went to Broadway and Fortress, Ubuntu stick in pocket. And they kindly allowed me to try out Ubuntu on all of the machines that looked interesting to me. I was looking for a laptop 13 to 15 inch in the 4,000 to 5,000 Hong Kong dollars range. There aren't many of those, most are more expensive. But there were a couple, so I tried like five in the one store and five in the other. And they all had problems. The touchpad would stop working, or not even start working, or the screen would freeze after a while, or the kernel would panic after a couple of minutes of use, or the Wi-Fi wouldn't work. So I didn't buy any laptop in January. And then in April, of course, Ubuntu 18.04 came out. And it wasn't until then that I realized that, hey, I was bringing a two-year-old Ubuntu to the store. Of course it didn't work with modern hardware, because that's a rule of Linux support, that new stuff never supports Linux. You need to wait for a while to allow the software to catch up. So I figured, yeah, I'll look into it and come with the latest Ubuntu at some point. And now it came to the point where my son and I are going on a few weeks travel, and my wife will be left here, so then we needed another proper laptop. So I went out with the latest Ubuntu, and I went to the same store as last time, and the guy even recognized me. I guess they don't have too many of these troublesome Linux customers. They want to reboot everything. And I tried the two computers they had for around 4,000 Hong Kong dollars, and they both worked, actually. So I picked the one that had more ports, even though the other one was lighter. This one had more ports and a space for a drive expansion and all that, so that felt like a good choice. I tried it out in the store, and it managed to connect to the store Wi-Fi, but it couldn't connect to my phone. And I looked around in the logs, and oh, this looks troublesome. It says something about, oh, is this infrastructure mode or not? And there seemed to be some conflict. I thought, oh no, is there some specific driver you need for this that I'll never figure out? But the guy in the store, he said, no, it's probably just we have so many Wi-Fis here. It's a troublesome radio environment, and it'll probably work fine when you're home. And I happen to have my MacBook with me, and I've never actually run Ubuntu on this MacBook. But I plugged in the stick in my MacBook, I started it up in Ubuntu, no problem, everything just worked. I had to go to the drivers section and choose proprietary driver, blah, to get the Wi-Fi to work. And sure enough, my MacBook also could connect to the store Wi-Fi and couldn't connect to my phone. So I figured, yeah, okay, maybe it's not a problem with this particular computer. I didn't have the money on me at the time, so I just put that computer aside to pick it up later when I had the money. And then on the way home on the bus, I tried with my MacBook to connect to my phone again, and then it just worked. So then I felt more safe in my choice of buying this computer. It will probably work once I get out of that radio environment. So here comes the detour, the segue about the money, because Fractalite pays me in cryptocurrency. So I have all my stuff in a cryptocurrency wallet somewhere. And if I want to move money to the brick and mortar stores world, I need to either go to the Bitcoin ATM downtown, but you can never know in advance if there's any money in it or not. Or I would have to send my money to a local exchange and then transfer the money to the bank from there. Or I could withdraw in cash from the exchange, tell them I need cash, and then show up a day later and they will prepare the cash for me. So yeah, there's that whole side quest of actually getting money. Actually, when I was in the shop, I assumed that I had money because I had transferred money to myself a couple of days earlier for paying the rent. So I just gave them my card and, yeah, charge this card. And I said, oh no, there's no money. Oh, okay. So I asked them to hold the computer, and I would come back maybe a day later or beginning of next week. And now it's the next week and I still didn't receive my money from the cryptocurrency exchange, so I'll have to get back to them about that. So I just came back from my bank now. Luckily the company also has some cash in the bank, so I used that to pay the rent. So that's that whole side quest about actually paying for this thing. What we ended up doing in the end was my wife went to pick it up instead and used her credit card to pay for it. So now I've been staying up all night playing with this computer. I installed Ubuntu on it, no problem. The only problems caused are by my own particular requirements on how things should be set up. This time I tried using XFS file system instead of my usual X4. We'll see if the old bad laptop has an issue where even if I reboot it cleanly, it will still complain each time when it boots up that it needs to FSCK the root partition. I don't know why. So this time I'm using XFS and just because, and maybe that will not run into that issue. I'm guessing it might have something to do with, but shouldn't have something to do with me running ZFS with the ZFS auto mount for the /nix directory. And maybe that doesn't unmount in the proper order so that the disk isn't actually unmounted when the computer shuts down, but that seems weird. If you can't unmount, root should be able to remount it read-only, but I don't know. Anyway, this new machine. I shrunk the Windows partition. I'm going to remove it later, but for the moment I just shrunk it. I don't want to remove it without having a backup of it. Because this is a SSD 128GB, so any space reclaimed is very valuable space, and the resized Windows partition is now like 50 gigs, so that's a noticeable part of the disk. I created a boot partition that is running X4, and then a Lux partition of which I make an LVM physical volume, of which I make a volume group, in which I create the logical volumes swap 2GB. The machine has 4GB of memory. Planning to upgrade it later if necessary. It depends what we're going to use this machine for. But 4GB should be enough for LibreOffice and Firefox anyway. So 2GB swap, 10GB root, 20GB /nix, and for that I'm using ZFS with DDUP, which is really nice. If you run Geeks, it automatically does hard link DDUP all the time. On NIX you need to do it explicitly after the fact. And instead of having to think about doing that, I find it really nice to just use the online DDUP on ZFS. And also, if there's some software release that just changes slightly a few files, that should also dedupe better with ZFS than with just whole file deduplication as you get with hard link deduplication. And originally I also set up ZFS because I put both Geeks and NIX on there and they should have a lot of shared files that they wouldn't within their own DDUP systems figure out. So that was also very useful to use ZFS on. But on this machine, I'm not even installing Geeks because it is too troublesome to upgrade Geeks these days. There's a performance problem. It eats a gigabyte of memory and it takes forever. So I'm going all NEX at the moment until Geeks figures out their problems. So I'm running Ubuntu 18.04 and I'm running NEX on it. And currently I'm trying to figure out how to get GNOME in Ubuntu to recognize my NIX installed X applications. I'm not even sure how I did that before. I thought I had set XDD data dirs variable, but I did that now and it didn't work. So maybe what I did was I just symlinked the NIX profile share applications files into .local share applications. I don't know. I'll see how I did it on the other laptop. Oh yeah, that's also a thing. I didn't even succeed in setting the XDG data dirs variable because I set it in my .profile, but that is not run by the X session. So I tried sourcing the .profile from .XSession. Nope, didn't do anything. I tried the .gnomerc, still didn't do anything. That worked on Ubuntu GNOME 16.04, but apparently not on Ubuntu 18.04, so I don't know what's that all about. I've been looking around a bit on the various stack exchanges and other places on the internet, but I haven't seen an answer, or I haven't even seen anyone have this problem on Ubuntu 18.04 specifically, so I don't know what to do about that. But until I can fix that, I'll see if just putting symlinks in .local works. I'll have to get this in order pretty soon because on Saturday we're flying back to Sweden to meet Grandma and Grandpa. That's gonna be nice. So I need this computer fixed so my wife has something to work on. So yeah, this all about my laptop adventures. Maybe I should say that overall I'm very happy with the computer so far. There's always some stuff to complain about, especially if you buy one for just 4,000 Hong Kong dollars. This is, I think it was 4,200 something in the end. The power button is the upper right button within the normal keyboard area, which is super annoying because that's where page down is supposed to be. I really like it better when they put the power button outside the normal rectangle of normal keys. And also to make space for that, they removed the end button. And I discovered that actually I use that, especially to scroll on web pages. So this, in the upper right corner, is just home, page up, page down, power, which is pretty stupid. And also insert is important. Use shift insert to paste from the selection buffer. And insert is now function delete, which is pretty stupid. Pause and break, they have their real key, and I never used that. So why couldn't they sacrifice that instead of sacrificing my dear insert key? And of course, always on non-Swedish keyboards, the enter key is the wide enter key instead of the tall enter key, and I really don't like that either. I prefer it to be the wide enter key. But these are just nitpicks. You always get used to these things. At least the function key is not in the lower left. The control is in the lower left and the function key is to the right of that. That's how it should be, according to me. On the MacBook it isn't like that, but apparently I've got used to that as well. The touchpad is a bit clunky, and it hasn't always responded so well. Sometimes when I move I have to sort of rub all over it to make sure there's no static, and then it works again. Just pointing with my finger. And it took me a while. I didn't realize that right click didn't work by just going to the right side and clicking. I thought it was some other problem, but then finally I realized, hey, maybe I'm not actually right clicking right now. And that was indeed the problem. I looked online and I found that, right, okay, some touchpads emulate right clicking by two finger clicking. And turns out that that's what this one does. And then I tried three finger clicking, and it turns out that's the middle mouse button. So then maybe it doesn't matter so much that shift insert isn't so convenient anymore, because I can just triple click instead and then we'll do the same thing. Now we'll see after using this for a while what my usage pattern turns out to be. But anyway, I think for the price I got a better computer than I dared hope for. I'm pretty satisfied. It's a bit heavy because it has the built-in DVD drive. Most of the time that's completely useless, but the MacBook doesn't have it, of course, and I bought an external DVD drive for that. And when you want to watch a movie, it's actually a little bit annoying to have to plug that in. And this is mostly a desktop laptop. It's going to be here at home. We're not going to lug it around very much. So if it's 2.5 kilos instead of 1.75 kilos, it doesn't really matter all that much. So that's my laptop purchase. See you next time on Hacker Public Radio. Na 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 na. You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at bingweb.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum.